If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In life, there's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do the important things. Successful people, peak performers, concentrate on the top items. And remember, anything other than working on the top items on your list is a waste of your time. And time management is not just time management. Time management is life management. You can do anything you want with your life if you'll manage your time properly. We all have the same 24 hours a day, and the ability to concentrate, to discipline yourself, to use willpower and perseverance to concentrate on one thing at a time is a quality of all success. Nothing great has ever been accomplished without the ability to concentrate single-mindedly on one thing at a time. Here is my favorite time management question, which I give to you for free. It's simply this. Before you start anything, ask yourself, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Make a list and say, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? When you get into your car, say, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? When you leave the house or leave the office, say, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Ask yourself that question over and over and over again. Repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until it's driven into the subconscious mind as a command. And whenever you have a temptation to do something that is small and irrelevant, that command will go, blam, what is the most valuable use of your time right now? And you'll, ooh, and it'll push you into doing what is the most valuable use of your time. And whenever you're working on the most valuable use of your time, you feel great. You get concentrated effort is a source of energy and enthusiasm. It makes you feel wonderful when you're working on something important, and it makes you feel nothing when you're working on something irrelevant. Develop a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency is a quality that is possessed by only 2% of the population. 2% of the population do things fast. 2% of the population have a bias for action. In Tom Peters' wonderful book, In Search of Excellence, he says that all the excellent companies have a bias for action. And all of the companies that do not classify or do not come into the excellence category do things when they get around to it. You call them up and you have a problem or a complaint. You hear from them 3 or 4 weeks later. But the excellent companies, you call up with a problem or complaint, bang, there's somebody back to you in 2 minutes. If you ever want an experience, call IBM, call Hewlett-Packard, and say, I'm having a problem getting some information. I'm having a problem with my PC. They won't let you off the phone until they've taken care of you. You call the other companies, they'll say, it's not my job. They say, the guy who takes care of that isn't here. When will he be back? I don't know. Can you take a message? I don't have a pencil. You know, you've spoken to those people? And then they can't understand why they're struggling. You know that 20% of the companies make 80% of the profits in every industry? Interestingly enough. So develop a sense of urgency. Get the reputation as the person who does things fast. Develop a reputation for speed and dependability, and your future will just open up in front of you. And if you'll develop that habit of working fast, that sense of urgency, act now, do it now, do it now, do it now. Somebody calls you up and has a question, get back to them now. Somebody has a problem, get back to them now. Somebody needs something, move on it quickly. If you have to forego coffee breaks or lunch or something else, move fast. If you develop that reputation for speed, it will be worth a fortune to you. It takes a little while, but it's a habit. Most people just sort of shuffle through life. You know, they get to it when they feel like it. But all the excellent people, all the high performers have a sense of urgency. No matter what field you're in, no matter what field of endeavor, no matter what work, no matter what activity, there is one thing that all successful people have in common is that they are good time managers. And the reason they are good time managers is because they recognize that time management is life management. Successful people, winners, use their time well. Losers do not. I am going to give you 21 of the very finest time management ideas ever developed. If you use these ideas systematically, you can increase your personal productivity by 2 or 3 hours a day. You can increase your income. You can increase your rate of promotion. You can increase your life satisfaction. You can even increase the length of time you live. The question is, how badly do you want to learn how to manage your time well? How much effort are you willing to put into it? So let's get started. The first idea, the most important of all, the core of time management, the axle around which the wheel of life turns, is goals. What are your goals? What is it that you want to be or to have or to do? What is it that you want to accomplish in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years? The top 3% in every field have goals. The balance of the population have either very vague goals or no goals at all. So the question you have to ask yourself is, who am I? Where am I going? What do I want to accomplish? And there are three major areas of goals that you have to think about. The first is your personal and your family goals. These are the reasons why you're alive. What do you want to accomplish for yourself and for your family? Write them down, define them clearly. The second set of goals that you have to ask is your business, your career, your financial, your material goals. What is it that you want to accomplish in the external world? Where do you want to make your contribution? The third type of goals you have to ask about are your self-development goals. And in my estimation, your ability and your willingness and your tenaciousness in developing yourself is the key to accomplishing everything else. So here's three questions that you can ask. The first question is, what would you do? What would you set as a goal for yourself? What would you want to be or have if you just won $1 million in the lottery? What would you do if you just won $1 million? If you had all the time and money, you're completely free to decide to do anything you wanted. If you won $1 million, what would you do differently? Think about that, hold that in your mind. Second question is, what would you do if you just learned today that you only had 6 months to live? What if you only had 6 months to live? What would you stop doing? What would you do more of? Who would you spend time with? Now, the answer to that question is very interesting because what it tells you is what you really value, what is really important to you. And what we have found is that self-esteem, satisfaction, happiness in life comes from getting your goals and your activities congruent with your values, with your priorities, with what you consider to be really important. Now, here's a third question. The third question is, what one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? If you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that you could not fail, what one thing would you set as a goal for yourself? Because sometimes answering that question will tell you the one thing that you've been put on this earth to accomplish. One final point with regard to goals is that goals must be in writing. You must write them down, you must rewrite them, you must define them, you must redefine them. The top 1% of successful people in every area have very clear, specific, written goals. And most of them carry their goals around with them. So let's go from goals as the core of success to point number two, which is organized plans of action. In an interesting study or a variety of studies that have been done, they've come to the conclusion, action without planning is the cause of every failure. Action without planning is the cause of frustration, time wastage, anxiety, stress, and lack of success in life. So organized plans of action are critical. Now, what is an organized plan of action? An organized plan of action is where you take your goal, you take your objective, and you write out every single step that you're going to have to follow in order to accomplish that objective. You write it out and you list all those plans of action, all of those different activities, and you organize them together into a plan that you can then implement on a day-to-day basis. You decide which has to be done first and which has to be done last, which is more important, which is less important. In fact, the ability to set goals and to create plans for their accomplishment is the master skill of success. If all you learned in life, all you learned in school, was the ability to be a continuous goal setter and a continuous planner, day and night, planning, organizing, planning, writing, thinking about what you're trying to accomplish, you'll accomplish more in a year or 2 years than most people accomplish in 10 years or an entire lifetime. It has nothing whatever to do, by the way, with your intelligence. It hasn't anything to do with your education. You know, half of the best educated people in the country are working for people who didn't finish high school or didn't finish college. If you do not have clear goals for your life, you are condemned forever to work for those who do. You see, in life, it's very simple. Either you are working toward the accomplishment of your goals or you're working toward the accomplishment of other people's goals. Very important. Now, the third point in excellent time management is analysis. Make a list. How do you make a list? And you make your list for each day the evening before. And you always work from a list. Now, why do you make it the evening before? The primary reason is if you make a list the evening before, the subconscious goes to work on your list while you're asleep. And during the night, the subconscious will solve problems and bring insights to you. You'll wake up in the morning with insights, ideas, intuitions, answers that will make your day more productive. Now, the second reason that you use a list is because if you don't have a list, it's like driving down the street in a car with no steering wheel. You just drift, and every bump, every interruption, everything that happens sets you off in a different direction. A list gives you a track to run on for the entire day. Another reason that you use a list is because with a list, you can analyze where you are. You can tell what is more important and what is less important. You can tell what is irrelevant, what can be delegated, what can be delayed, what can be put off. That when you use a list and you work down the list and you check things off, each time you check something off on a list, it gives you a feeling of accomplishment. It's been well said that happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. That happiness is the step-by-step accomplishment of the tasks necessary to accomplish a worthy ideal. And a successful life is based on a series of successful days. And a series of successful days is based on working on a list, one step at a time. Okay, now the fourth principle for effective time management is to set priorities. It's interesting, there are many people who have goals vague or clear. There are many people who do make plans. But the biggest single problem in human life is setting priorities, determining what is relevant and what is irrelevant. And in setting priorities, an Italian economist named Alfredo Pareto in 1895 came up with a principle, which is called the Pareto Principle. We call it the 80-20 rule. It says that 80% of the value of what you do will be contained in 20% of the things that you do. What does this mean? It means if you make a list of 10 things that you have to do today, you will find that two of those things are worth all of the others put together. Now, the difference between highly effective people, as Alfredo Pareto said, was that highly effective people work on the vital few versus the trivial many. The difference between the two is that ineffective people work on the trivial many. They work on things that are fun. They work on things that are easy. They work on little tasks, fun tasks, irrelevant tasks, but they keep putting off and delaying working on their major tasks. So the key to success is always be asking this question: what is the most valuable use of my time right now? So always before you begin, ask yourself, is this the most important thing I could be doing? Is this my top priority task? Does this give me the highest payoff? Is this the most valuable use of my time? The fifth key idea in time management, which I am a fanatic on, is concentration. Learning how to concentrate is absolutely essential to success. As a matter of fact, it is impossible for you to accomplish anything worthwhile in life without the ability to concentrate single-mindedly on one thing at a time and stay with it until it's complete. In fact, time and motion studies have shown that if you start a task and you put it down and you come back to it and pick it up and start it and put it down and come back to it and pick it up, that it will take you as much as 500% of the necessary time to do a task than if you picked it up and carried it through. Alec McKenzie, great time management expert, Alec McKenzie calls this single handling. Once you have made a list of what you have to do, organized your goals, determined the highest and most valuable priority, then pick the most important thing and begin working on it and stay with it until it's finished. Now people say, well, if I stay with this task until it's finished, I won't get anything else done. That doesn't matter. If it's the most valuable thing that you have to do, it's the most important thing that you could be working on. Now, it's a wonderful thing. When you concentrate and work intensely on an important task, it gives you a feeling of energy and enthusiasm. When you complete an important task, your self-esteem goes up. You feel like a winner. You feel great about yourself. But if you work away on low-priority tasks, even if you complete them and do them well, you don't get any bang for the buck. You don't get any excitement or thrill from doing something that's not important. As a matter of fact, most stress, anxiety, frustration in the world of work today comes from working very hard on irrelevant tasks. Benjamin Trigo said, if it's not worth doing, it's not worth doing right. And I think it was Drucker who said, the very worst thing in the world is to do very well what need not be done at all. The sixth key to time management is deadlines. How do you set deadlines? First of all, when you set the goal, when you specify the task, set the deadline when it's going to be accomplished. Always set the deadline with lots of room to spare and always try to finish before the deadline. Tell other people that you're going to finish by this deadline. Promise others that you'll have your work done. It's a powerful way to act as what is called a forcing system. A forcing system is something that motivates you to stay at it. Because if you don't set a deadline and give yourself a forcing system, you fall into the trap of what is called Parkinson's Law. Now, Parkinson's Law says that work expands to fill the time allotted for it. But if you have 2 hours of work to do and 8 hours of time, you will stretch that work over 8 hours. Parkinson's Law also says that work contracts to fill the time allotted for it. If you have 8 hours of work to do, and because of an emergency, you have to have it done in 2 hours, you will get it done in 2 hours. Highly effective people are always setting tight, stringent, disciplined deadlines on themselves so they get more work done in a short period of time rather than less work done in a long period of time. Does this make sense? The next principle, number 7, is what is called the time log, which is writing down and keeping track of where your time is going. All effective people know where their time goes. Now, let me tell you an interesting principle with regard to time management. It is this, is the more important you are, the more successful you are, the more you tend to measure out your time in minutes. The less successful you are, the more you tend to measure out your time in hours, days, and weeks. The average person thinks in terms of morning or afternoon. The above average person thinks of hours. The successful person thinks of half hours. The very successful person thinks in terms of minutes. They allocate their time carefully. Now, the only time way that you can do that is what? Is you've got to keep track of what you're spending your time on. 60, 70, 80% of people are not aware of how they spend their time. They think they spend a lot of time in meetings. It turns out they spend a lot of time socializing. They think they spend a lot of time working on reports. It turns out they spend a lot of time on the telephone. They think they spend a lot of time doing important jobs. It turns out they spend a lot of time wasting time. So keep a time log or just keep a sheet. And whenever you have a chance to look at your watch, write down what you're doing at the time or have somebody else watch what you're doing and feed back to you how you're spending your time. And then you have to ask, is how I'm spending my time consistent with my major goals, my top priorities, my high payoff tasks? And you'll find that it's not. And you'll also find that you feel frustrated and you feel stressed if you are not working your time on the things that you're supposed to do. So keep measuring your time, logging your time, analyzing your time. How am I spending my time? Am I spending my time on the things that are important to me? Am I spending my time on the things that give me a big payoff? And if you're not, keep adjusting and modifying your schedule. A very interesting point with regard to the time log is that self-discipline is critical. You've got to discipline yourself and you've got to measure and analyze your time every single day or you slip off it again.